Well, welcome everyone to yet another Tech Doctor podcast. How are you doing on this fine day, Miss Allison?
You know, for a Tuesday, I'm doing extraordinarily well.
Well, that sounds good. I assume that means Tuesdays are not necessarily your best day, huh?
Fair to Midland.
Fair to Midland. Okay, well, I'm glad you're here. I'm also glad to have with us Woody Anna Dresner, and Anna has been on the podcast a number of times, typically talking about a new book, and there's no exception to that tradition this time. Welcome, Anna. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for coming on and talking to us. It seems like you are somehow charged with the responsibility of trying to keep up with Apple and iOS, and every time they come out with a new version of the operating system, you must have to do a new book. I imagine that's quite a task, because now you have iOS 6 just out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things. You know, you do one, and then when the next one comes out, then there's certainly people would like to see an updated version. So, and Diane at National Braille Press is certainly always in favor of doing that. So far, that's kind of one of the things I've been trying to do.
I really think of that series, of that book, as being a real go-to book when it comes to iOS and the iPhone. And I assume that it's gotten good response from people over the years, because you really do cover a lot of excellent information in the book. And when I looked at the iOS 6 version, it was hard to tell, although you did say that it was intended to be an update or almost like an addendum, but the book itself has a lot of pretty complete information. So are you expecting people to go back and read version 5 or iOS 5 to get the full picture, or what's the plan with this particular book?
Well, we did decide this year that rather than trying to do a whole complete book, to do more of a supplement. However, I also wanted to make sure that if someone just bought it, this one, they would still have useful things. So I put in all the tables from the other book that listed things like keyboard commands, so that it kind of could double as a reference card. And probably if you're already pretty familiar with iOS, this might very well be enough, even if you didn't have the earlier book. If someone's just starting out, this one doesn't have a lot of the... I mean, I do have, at the end, there's a bunch of... the list of all the gestures, and I added to that this time all the buttons and what they did, because somebody had said that they would like to see that in there, and I thought it was a good idea. But if you want to be sort of talked through the whole process of turning on your phone for the first time and exploring the screens and learning where the icons are, and being talked through, say, using the phone app and dialing and some of those really basic things, and you want someone to walk you through every step of that, that stuff isn't in here. Just the newer stuff, either things that are new or, in a few cases, things I simply didn't know when the first one came out, because I'm always learning in the process of doing this and being on lists and everything else. There's always stuff that I didn't know by the time the book comes out that then might need to be in the next one. So that's kind of where we are. And hopefully it will be work fine as a standalone if you have some experience and a reference card. But if you're just starting out, you're probably going to need both.
And would that mean that someone who is just starting out would need to just go back one revision of the book? I guess the one before iOS 6 pretty much has everything. Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, I mean, the iOS 5 one does have all that really beginner stuff.
Okay.
And what I did was, the new book has the same titles for sections, so that at least, I mean, I know it's awkward, and I do apologize for that, because I know it's tricky, especially if you're new to something, to be flipping back and forth. But I did at least put in the same titles to sections so that you can kind of cross-reference and find stuff
That's handy.
Well, I obviously have read both books, but it's been a while since I read the iOS 5 book. And when I read this iOS 6 book, I felt like, you know, even though there were quite a few times where you said, this is different from the way it was in iOS 5, or this is the same as it was in iOS 5, except that you treat the way that you go about selecting a word slightly differently or something like that. But to me, it felt pretty substantial on its own, but I guess it's maybe a little hard for me to judge. What did you think, Allison?
I thought that it stood well on its own, too. I felt like even if you only had a passing familiarity with iOS, that you could pick this book up and really learn an awful lot from it. What I've always liked about your writing, Anna, is that you are detailed and yet concise, and that's really good, especially now that we're in a on-the-go type society where we just kind of want to learn what we need to learn and take it and go with it. And I think especially in this iOS 6 update, you've given people the chance to really do that with your writing style. I really like the fact that you're offering, or that NBP is offering, the bundle as well, though, too, so that people can get the iOS 5 book and the 6 update together. I've been recommending that to a lot of people recently.
Well, thank you. I'm really glad. And, you know, I certainly do try to be concise, but not overly concise, you know, figuring that middle ground. Or, you know, when there's 5 ways of doing something, I may only mention a couple of them, just not so as not to be confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly try, like whenever I tell you how to do a process, you know, I'm always doing it as I'm writing it, so that hopefully I won't miss an important step or something, so that you're not stranded.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you've hit that middle ground pretty well.
Well, thank you.
You know, I guess you have kind of a unique perspective in a way, Anna, because you've written books on all the major versions of iOS that have been accessible. Do you think that it has gotten any easier for people or better for people? Or do you, you know, if you just sort of step back and look at the big picture, how do you see iOS accessibility as evolving at this point?
Well, of course, the first version that I used, I didn't write about it because I was kind of toward the end of it, was I got my iPhone before iOS 4 came out. So when I got it, it didn't have Braille support. So, you know, that's huge, obviously. So the first book that I wrote, and Dee Martineau helped on, you know, wrote part of that first book as well. And so by then we did have it. But, you know, that was such a huge leap. And I certainly think those little action menus, I mean, it's kind of a little thing, but it seems like such a nice, handy thing.
Makes a huge difference.
Makes it so much easier to delete emails and messages and things like that.
Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Music tracks.
I've never had much trouble with the double tap and hold and swipe right thing, but it seems like a lot of people do. And so it's really nice to have another option for that. I love the way they go the extra mile in certain things, like the Maps app, the fact that you can actually explore the map. Now, I imagine that works better on an iPad than an iPhone just because the screen's small, but still, it's cool to at least be able to kind of see what streets are around you or that kind of thing, and that they would even try that. It's just so cool. And with the camera, the way they have the face recognition thing. So, I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to have a perfect shot, but at least if you're trying to send a friend a picture of somebody that you're talking about, you have some assurance that their face will in fact be in the picture, which is really cool.
Yeah. I guess the book is really mostly focused on the iPhone and the iPod Touch, but do you think it's pretty applicable to the iPad as well?
Well, I think, you know, in terms of basic concepts, sure. I think, you know, the screen layouts, obviously, I'm sure are very different. My husband has an iPad, but it's an iPad 1, so it's not running iOS 6, and I haven't used it all that much. I've sort of used iPads enough to know that they're amazingly similar and amazingly different.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. I have an iPad 3, haven't had it all that long. I got it back in December, and I'm surprised in a lot of ways at how different a lot of the screen layouts are. I find it honestly a bit more confusing, a bit more difficult to use in some respects, but the phone has always been my go-to device for just about everything.
I've been drooling over the iPad minis since they came out, and I got to see one at the Apple store because I just think they seem like such a nice middle ground where you could have some of the advantages, or pretty much all the advantages of the iPad, but in a size that's a little more manageable, because exploring an iPad screen with a finger is just really difficult, I think. Whereas that size just seemed a little less intimidating, but still big enough that you might be able to type with your hands in sort of normal typing position, which I think would be really nice.
Yeah.
That would be really cool. I saw, I had an iPad for about a month and promptly sold it. Actually, my husband and I each had one and we sold them. But as we saw the iPad mini this past weekend, and I'm trying to convince myself that I don't need it.
So do you imagine you'll have it by the end of next week?
Robert, you know me. I may, but you know.
Well, I figure at some point we're going to have to get one, if nothing else, because we homeschool our son and, you know, they keep talking about all these books that are available on the iPad.
Yeah.
And I think it's annoying that the textbook type stuff isn't available on the iPhone, but it certainly doesn't seem to be. And at some point, I think we may just have to have one so that we can access all that stuff.
I'm a little bit surprised that no one has done, at least that I'm aware of, has done an accessibility book on the iPad.
Yeah, NBP is working on one. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to come out. Well, it's designed for teachers and parents, basically, or people working with blind people that kind of help them figure out how to teach the iPad. And I think that's basically, you know, there was a, I think, you know, they felt like there was a need for that because so many schools seem to be buying iPads for their kids that have vision problems. And
yeah.
So they went that route first. There's some chance that I might end up doing that at some, you know, doing something at some point, but I don't know if or when that will happen.
Well, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, but in the iOS 5 and 6 books, if people learn to do the basic gestures and learn to access the basic applications, you can essentially do the same kind of things on the iPad. It's just that when you get to browsing the web or doing email, you'll find the screens are laid out a bit differently. And at that point, if you have the basics, though, it's not that difficult to experiment a bit and figure out the best way to make use of those screens. I mean, for example, the contact screen is really interesting because on the iPhone, I use the table index a lot on contacts to locate a particular letter of a contact that I'm looking for. And on the iPad, if you have a table index that you can use, you can swipe up and down, but if you don't touch the screen just next to where the index is, it won't actually focus on that particular letter. And so there are some little things like that that if you don't know about or if you haven't figured it out, it can be pretty frustrating.
That would be weird. I think I've heard of some that the couple of gestures that the iPad has that the iPhone doesn't seem like they would be neat, like that being able to switch between open apps with the
right.
Four-finger slide or something.
Right.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm enjoying my iPad. It is pretty heavy and pretty big, honestly, in some respects. So I'm sort of agreeing with you all that the iPad mini is a nice idea because it's about the same size as the Nexus 7, which is a really nice size little device.
Yeah, but it's a lot thinner than the Nexus 7. A lot thinner.
Yeah, a lot thinner, but screen size about the same.
Yes, yeah.
It seems like that would be big enough to be able to do, to get a little more out of the Map app and things like that.
The iOS 6 book took me about an hour to read. I just read it straight through one morning, and it really isn't hugely long. So, I mean, if you read at a pretty good clip, someone can expect to get through the book fairly quickly. And do you have any particular, do you recommend that that people skip around, read it straight through, or how did you design it in that regard?
Well, I tried to make it as flexible as possible, because especially if you already know how to use an iPhone, you may just want bits and pieces. So I put in, you know, as many headings as seemed reasonable to, so that you can find what you want. And the book is available, you know, in DAISY as well as Braille. So if you're using DAISY, then being able to move to the heading you want is great. So if you're the kind of person who just wants, you know, to know a little bit here and there, then that's available to you. And if you want to go through it, you certainly can. I think it really just depends on what you need.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think if you go through it, there is, it does to some extent build on earlier concepts.
Yeah.
Build on things that come up later in the book. So you're right. It probably does depend on how well you do or don't know the phone and the operating system to begin with. But it's an easy book to work with, and I've always been a little perplexed when I go to buy one of those books as far as which format to buy. And I typically don't buy the hard copy Braille, although I can think that would be tempting in some ways to have because of the ease of use of the table of contents. But a lot of times I buy the DAISY version, but this time I just bought the text version, and thinking that I could read it easily on multiple devices. And so it is kind of, I wonder if it's confusing for other people about which format to buy.
I think there is a which format to buy, you know, cheat sheet or something on the website, if I remember right. I know there used to be. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I'm sure it can be a little hard. You know, the more choices you give people, you know, that's good, or it can be confusing, I suppose.
I think it's confusing for me just because I want to do multiple things with the book. There are times when I want to look something up quickly where the DAISY format might be nice, but when I want to read it on a device like the iPhone itself that typically does better with just something that's text, the TXT file is nice. So I think if you're trying to do multiple things with a book like that, the format choice can be a bit confusing.
What I did was I actually bought the DAISY version, and then I took the HTML file out of the DAISY version, put it into Dropbox, and read it with VoiceDream.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And of course, you can if you have like Read to Go or one of those. I guess that's pretty much the only one standing at the moment. But you could read the DAISY version on the iPhone, for that matter, as well.
Yes, you could.
One thing I wanted to say, I would definitely recommend to people, if you're going through it, have the iPhone in front of you and do the stuff, especially if you're newer to it, because otherwise it's going to go in one ear and out the other, probably.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you can work through it and actually do the things, you'll retain it a whole lot better. Plus, you'll build some confidence in the realization that you actually can do these gestures. Right. I'm really amazed at how many people I hear who have trouble with the rotor gesture. It seems like for a lot of people, they just don't understand the concept of the rotor. And I don't know why that's difficult for people.
I'm not sure either, because I mean, before I got an iPhone, I remember hearing about that gesture and kind of going, huh? But once I got it, it was like, okay, well, imagine there's this little knob between my fingers, and it basically worked. Now, I think it's really cool. And of course, you can't ever update these things often enough. I mean, after I put this into publication, then Cara Quinn came out with her VO tutorial,
right?
Which has this cute little game where you're turning a combination lock to help practice the rotor. I think that's just really very clever.
Yeah, I think that's great that she came out with a tutorial like that that lets people practice, and especially some of those gestures by playing a game. I know there's a basketball game on there.
The VO starter one is excellent too, and I think that's just exciting that they're, that these tutorials are out there. They should really help because, I mean, I loved practice gestures when I started. I basically, the first couple of days, you know, I had the appendix with all the voiceover commands and practice gestures and just kind of worked through them. And I do think sometimes people don't spend enough time in that area just trying stuff because it does such a great job of not only telling you what gesture it thinks you did, but also what that gesture does. So that's really good. But now with these tutorials, you got to get both of those and work your way through. It should really help, I think.
Because I think what you're doing there is you're bridging a lot of different learning styles for people.
Yeah.
For someone who does well with practicing things, they can have the tutorials. For someone who really likes to read about and study up on things, there are the books. And so it's really nice to see this kind of variety because people do learn in very different ways. And we need ways for people to get the hang of this. Because I know that, you know, the iPhone has become very popular with people who are blind, but I also know a whole lot of people who, and some of them are tech savvy people, who are still afraid to make an attempt at the touchscreen.
It is a really different way of learning and doing things, and it's exciting. I think it's so wide open because there's just so many different ways it can be used, and so many, the fact that that screen can do all sorts of different things, I think is really fun, but I can see how it could be intimidating. So yeah, having all sorts of approaches is good. And I try to do that in the book too, of having more sort of step-by-step things toward throughout. But then, like, if you just want to know, what does this gesture do? There's one appendix that lists them all, so you can go through in a systematic way if you prefer that. So the book itself tries to appeal to multiple styles, and then also, of course, these tutorials and things really add to that.
Yeah, I think the book is something that I would recommend everybody from a beginner to a power user to have around, because none of us can remember all these things all the time.
Exactly.
And the book is a really great reference when you need to look something up. I don't know how many times during iOS 5 I kept looking at the book to remember, okay, exactly how do I go about selecting this text, and how do I deal with the auto correction, the spelling correction stuff. I don't know why. For some reason it took me a while to remember some of those things. And it isn't hard, but I would just forget how to do it.
I actually had that experience when I was writing the iOS 5 book. I remember it was like, oh, how do you look a word up in the dictionary or something? And I couldn't figure it out. And finally, I was looking back at the previous edition to try to sort of, because I always do that if I'm writing the new one, to look at the old one and kind of see, you know, what can be brought across and what needs changing. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how you do that.
Yeah.
I know, I'm always forgetting Braille display commands. So this, the table of commands is awesome for me.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, and then they go changing all the, what all the extra buttons do.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it took me to adjust to the changes that they made in iOS 6 to the, you know, to the way the Focus 40 Blue other keys work. But I didn't have to put that in the book because those are all different. So I could use the check the help.
Yeah, that's really all you can say about that. Is the rapid changing of iOS making it frustrating to try to do these kinds of books?
It is. It's always kind of a mixed blessing. It's like, oh, good news, there's a new version of iOS with all these cool features. Bad news is, oh no, I have to try in one of these books. I was glad to be able to do a supplement this year because it just, you know, it takes forever to write one of them, the full book, and especially just trying to get it in between the other stuff that I'm doing. And so it was nice to have this year's be a little bit less time-consuming process.
I guess it's kind of a catch-22. You know, we want things to continue to advance and accessibility to get better and improvements to be made. but that does make it a constantly evolving, moving target that is really hard to chronicle, I guess.
Yeah, I was really glad that the 6.1 update came out about 3 days before I was planning to turn the book in. Well, actually, it came out, I think, a day before I was planning to turn the book in. So at least this time, for once, instead of, I think last time, iOS 5.1 came up maybe a couple of weeks after I had turned the book in. So at least this time, the 0.1 update came out in time for me to be able to kind of hang out and see whether anything had changed, so that at least it was really as up to date as possible.
Mm-hmm. We recently had Shelley Brisbane on the podcast, and she's doing an accessibility book, and on iOS accessibility, not just blindness and visually impaired, but all the accessibility features. And one of the things that she plans to do is to make updates available to the book on a website. And apparently it's going to be a situation where she can not only contribute to the updates or contribute to new information, but readers can do the same thing as well. And it seems like it almost is changing fast enough that that there needs to be some sort of living, changing wiki kind of document like that.
I mean, I can certainly see the value in that. I know I personally do not have the time, resources, etc., to sit there and man the thing all year.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you know, because this is a, you know, one thing I'm doing among all sorts of other stuff. And so, you know, doing a major update once a year or so is about all I can handle, but mm-hmm. I can sure see the point, you know, the value in something ongoing.
Well, we just really appreciate you taking a little time to update us on this book, because I think it's that important that people need to be aware of it. It's so nice to have all this information compiled in one place, the way that you do it in these books. And so for people who don't know, the book is available from the National Braille Press.
You can just go to www.nbp.org, and if you type in iPhone on the first, you know, there's a search box right on the first page, and it'll pop right up as one of the search results, along with some other books that they carry. And I guess that's one thing, too, actually. I was thinking about the whole wiki thing. Although, certainly for keeping the information up to date, that makes sense. But I think for a lot of people maybe who don't live their lives, you know, revolving around the technology, you know, even though things do change a little quicker than this, maybe having a book in your hands that has most of what you need to know and then relying on a few podcasts or other things to take up the slack until the next one comes out, you know, maybe is enough for a lot of people too. And the book does include a resources section where you can find out about, you know, other people who are doing this kind of work, and like the AppleVis site and the VI phone list and different things. I hope that it would direct people to where they can get really current information as well.
Well, it's a good point. You know, I sometimes forget that most people in the world don't eat and breathe this stuff the way that we do all the time. And most people don't want to know exactly what the difference between 6.1 and 6.2 is necessarily, or, you know,
don't just want it to work. Yeah.
Just want it to work. And so it's a good point that I think for most people, these updates come out often enough that they're probably perfectly adequate. Is there anything that either of you can think of that we haven't covered about the book that we would want to be sure and mention?
The only thing is that definitely check out the appendices, because you know, you do have the list of gestures, and there's also a frequently asked questions type thing. There's a list of all the apps that are mentioned in the book, so with the link, so you can go find out more about them if you want. And then there's that resources one that I mentioned. So there's all of that. And then there's also the reference card type stuff, the lists of all the keyboard and braille display commands and whatnot. So as well as kind of being a manual, hopefully it can be a reference book kind of thing for, you know, for anybody who needs concise information in a small space.
Yep, there's a lot there. It is concise and it is in a small space, but there's a lot of information there. So I encourage everyone to check it out.
Yeah.
And
thank you so much, Anna. We're so glad you could come on.
Well, thanks for having me. Oh, and I just happened to think the website does include the table of contents, I believe, when you go to NBP. So if you really want to know all the nitty-gritty details about, you know, what's covered, you should be able to find that.
Yeah, I think the table of contents is there. All right, well, great. So I just encourage everyone to check out the new iOS 6 update book that Anna has completed and is now available at the National Braille Press. And as Allison said, thanks for being here, Anna, and we look forward to having you back when you complete the next project, whatever it is.
Well, thank you very much. It was great fun.